Welcome to the Tipsy Archives. My name is Rachel Liggy, and I am joined by my friend, Christine Logan.
Hello.
And it's exciting to have you back after so long.
Yes, it has been a long time.
So I think you and I recorded an episode close to a year and a half ago.
Probably, yeah.
I think it was the winter of last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we recorded it at least maybe 2 or 3 months before I actually posted it. And that episode was Dark Fairy Tales.
Yes.
Yeah, and we actually recorded 2 episodes that night.
Yes.
Dark Fairy Tales, and what we are going to talk about today, the real stories of Disney princesses, which makes me think of, like, The Real Housewives.
yeah, of Disney,
which is a, have you seen that sketch? There's an SNL.
Yeah.
I love it.
Perfect.
It's super funny.
Yeah.
But, not quite the same thing. But we are going to re-record that episode mm-hmm. because very early on in my podcast career, I think it was the second time I had ever recorded, was with you. I didn't know how to use the stuff super well, and
it's fine.
We were, I think, well into our wine at that point, and I recorded over top of the episode or didn't save it properly. So, yeah, unfortunately, we lost that. Or fortunately, because I think now...
That's true.
I think now, you know, I have a bit more experience. Mm-hmm. I have a much better microphone. And, you know, well, this will probably turn out a little better than it might have or did last time.
I mean, hopefully.
Yeah.
I was saying before hopefully. That, like, I felt really awkward during that first half. So it wasn't the worst thing that got deleted. Because I was like, oh, okay, what are we talking about now?
Yeah.
So hopefully this will go better.
Yeah. I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
The pressure's on.
Yeah, right?
So, we had put aside... I mean, I think, especially if you are a girl in your 20s, 30s, mm-hmm. 40s, you grew up with Disney princesses.
Yeah.
And Disney, of course, has a tendency to shine these stories up a bit and make them a little bit more palatable for young children.
Yeah.
Less horrific and depressing.
Mm-hmm.
So, today we're going to talk a bit about the real stories, which, you know, some of you may know. I mean, did you know these stories when you were little?
I think a lot of them, strangely, rereading them is almost worse. It's like, how do little kids actually read these, and how are they okay with this? Because, I mean, I don't feel like I was traumatized by most fairy tales as a kid, but going back over them, they are somewhat horrifying, so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I definitely, we had a couple sort of thick volumes of, you know, folk tales and fairy tales mm-hmm. as a kid, and there were a lot of them that I have read in their original form. I don't really remember it phasing me that much except to be like, well, that's, you know, not
You're
very
like,
nice.
That's silly.
Yeah.
It's not, yeah.
But when you think about some of our nursery rhymes and
yeah,
I think these things they're... that we learn when we're really young kind of slip under the radar mm-hmm, a bit.
Definitely. You don't really notice the, like, blood and gore that's really there.
So, and as we talked about in our Dark Fairy Tales episode, there are, like, 100 different versions mm-hmm. of every fairy tale and retellings and, you know, TV adaptations. And we'll definitely be talking about, you know, some different versions mm-hmm. movie-wise and TV-wise and book-wise of these different stories. But if we talk about something and it's not necessarily what you remember, that's probably because, you know, there's different versions.
Yeah.
We'll go over some of our favorite princesses today. And I think I'll get started with Cinderella.
Sounds good.
So Cinderella, I definitely watched a lot as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I remember the most are the adorable mice.
Yeah.
Helping her with her chores.
Yeah.
And I'm sure this is a story that most people know. Her father dies quite young. I don't, off the top of my head, remember, because we know the whole thing about Cinderella is that she falls asleep by the fire reading, and she gets covered in kind of soot and cinders, or so they give her that nickname.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have here in my notes, or even remember. I'm sure somewhere there's, probably depending on the country of origin of each story, she's actually got a different maybe name that they do call her. The German one that I did find is a word that I will butcher. Aschenpudel.
Which sounds great. Like, that sounds fantastic.
That's from the Grimm's version, and it means Ash Fool.
So Ash Fool.
So that's the same thing, though. It's like as if she'd been sitting by the fireplace.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure French, it's Cendrillon, which is, like, the same thing, like cinder person, I guess.
That makes sense. But yeah, so we've, you know, we've seen the Disney one where the fairy godmother comes along and she gets the carriage and, you know, she has the wicked stepmother and the terrible sisters who treat her like crap and she's basically a slave, but she goes to the ball because of magic and eventually the prince falls in love with her and he said find her and puts the glass slipper on her foot and they live happily ever after.
Ta-da!
And there's lots of magical mice and pumpkins and...
classic. Fun, Disney singing.
Fun things. But in the original Grimm's version, Ash and Poodle...
yeah.
Sorry, it's... I don't know how to pronounce that. There's a couple details that are a bit more grim, for sure. So in some versions, her dad is still in the picture.
Okay.
But he just, like... doesn't care about her that much or is so whipped by the new stepmom that he doesn't seem to stick up for his own daughter because the stepdaughters, you know, they live like princesses and Cinderella, Ash and Poodle.
Ash and Poodle, yep.
Yeah. She is, you know, doing all the chores and all that, and she does get to go to the ball. There doesn't necessarily seem to be a fairy godmother in some of these. More that she goes to her mother's grave, and there is some kind of a magical bush or a tree, and that gives her some wishes. And then that allows her to kind of have a fancy dress and her fancy shoes, and she goes to the ball and dances with the prince, which is similar to the Disney version. Mm-hmm. But she leaves her shoe behind. And now, so one of the things that is the most disturbing about the original version is when the prince is going around the kingdom looking for the slipper that fits his true love, he shows up at the house of the stepmother, and she really wants one of her stepdaughters to fit into the shoe, so of course they can marry into royalty.
Naturally.
But their feet are too big, so she convinces the first daughter to cut off her toes.
So lovely.
That she can stick her foot into the shoe, which she does, and she hobbles out and says, oh, look, it fits. Oh, yay. And, like, I guess they don't notice at first, and the prince is like, okay. Like, this is the thing I don't get.
Yeah.
She was like, yeah. He was dancing with her. Like, wouldn't he remember her face?
Yeah. It's like, oh, this is probably the same one, right? Like, also, like, there's going to be more than one person in the kingdom with, like, a size 8 shoe. You know?
Yeah, like, were her feet so freakishly small?
Like, maybe that was it?
But then maybe a 12-year-old would fit into it?
Yeah. There's a lot of holes in this story.
Yeah, it doesn't really make... I guess maybe because it's a magical shoe?
Yeah.
But a magical shoe that would let you cut off your toes and shove your foot into it.
And then it's fine. Yeah.
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 So she puts it on, she hobbles out, and she's like, oh, it's me! And he, for, like, a minute, he's like... okay, cool, yeah, it must be my true love. And then she, you know, they eventually can get her into the carriage, and then they notice, like, oh, your foot's all bloody.
Lovely.
No, get out, not you. Other sister comes along, she goes, no, it's me. But her foot doesn't fit, so her mom goes, you know, just cut off your heel.
Because why not?
Because why not? But also, it's, like, just one, so then you're going to have these mismatched
feet. Yeah, that's true. You've ruined your feet forever.
You've ruined your feet forever. You know, the prince is fooled for a minute or two. Yeah.
Not even worth it.
Realizes that, like, once again, there's blood all over the place. And this is the funny part, too, I think, that the shoe has now had, like, two bloody stumps shoved into it. And then he goes, well, is there anyone else here?
And the anyone else want to try the bloody shoe?
The stepmother is like, no, 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 okay, well, just my, you know, terrible stepdaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then she comes along and puts her foot into the shoe, which is now a mess. And it fits, so... you know, happy ending for Cinderella.
And that's that.
Well, except for... except. They have their wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And they invite the stepmother and the stepsisters. And I guess out of some kind of vengeance for Cinderella, who is friends with birds in this version...
oh, okay.
They come down and peck the sister's eyes out.
Of course.
So that they're blind. And so you and I were just talking about... I probably will reference this a lot because I just watched Into the Woods for the first time. And I was surprised to see that they stuck true to that version of the Grimm's fairy tales. I was like, oh, this is like a family movie. Are they going to go there? And they did.
They do. Mm-hmm. They don't shy away from it. It's interesting, too, because that Into the Woods is based on a play. So I wonder how they would do that on actual stage.
Just throw kind of fake birds at the heads of the actresses. Horrifying
on stage, live, people's eyes being pecked out. Yeah.
I mean, they don't, in the movie, they don't show like, it graphically. Show it. Okay. They kind of just show birds fluttering down, and then the sister's kind of going, oh no, and then
so it's like exactly what it would be like to a young kid reading the stories, probably.
Yeah, it's not like horror movie level showing the birds actually pecking into their eye sockets.
That's good. Yeah.
It's more tame, but they still tell you, like, the narrator's like, and then the birds peck their eyes out. So, so you know what happens.
That is funny.
So, understandable to me that Disney might want to leave that out.
Yep.
But she does, in the original, also get her happy ending.
Yeah, so it's not like that much has really changed. It's just the gore. Mm-hmm. And what happens to the evil stepsisters, you don't really know.
Well, they have gimpy feet and they're blind.
In the Disney version. Like, you don't find out, do you?
You know, I don't remember, but what I do remember is a movie that I love, Ever After.
Oh, yeah.
The one with Drew Barrymore and Angelica Houston, which is obviously vastly different from either one of those, but is based on that.
Yeah.
They, I think the mother and the stepsisters sort of lose their position, and they end up having to work in the laundry. The laundress, because at the end they're all, like, with the big steaming vats of clothes, and they're being yelled at by other laundry ladies.
I guess that's, like, the modern way that you can deal with... Because, I mean, maybe back in the day when these were originally told, you did torture people as punishment for their actions, right? So, like, pecking somebody's eyes out, even though it's kind of, I don't know, nonsensical that, like, a bird would just come and decide to do it, but it's not that unrealistic for the time period.
Well, I learned from art history classes that, 18th and 19th century Europe, specifically France, being a laundry woman is, like, the worst job you can have.
Interesting. So that was also, like, staying true to that.
Because it's, like, backbreaking labor. You get paid hardly anything. It's just, like, really hard work for so little pay.
Yeah.
So, like, basically, like, prostitutes and laundresses. We're, like, very bottom of the rung of society.
Yeah. That's so cool that, like, the modern movie took that into account as well, then.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Although Leonardo da Vinci is not in the original story or the Disney movie. And he is in Ever After.
So.
Which is a fun detail for me. Even though it's, like,
obviously, you know. Just a little added, like, Easter egg kind of in it. That's so fun.
I like that movie.
I've not seen that in a very long time.
I watched it.
It was really good.
I think I watched it on a plane on one of the last times I came back from Europe. I don't remember if it was Italy or... even though they're 2 years apart. I watched it on a plane at some point in the last couple of years. And I think it actually was when we were coming back from Italy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it held up.
Yeah, totally.
It was so good.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on to our next Disney princess. Yes. Tell us about Snow White.
Yeah. So what's kind of interesting about Snow White, just a little background, because it's Disney's first full-length animated feature film, what I found really interesting when I was looking it up is the way that Disney tried to adapt this story into the movie was they wanted to add a lot of, like, comedic elements to it. They wanted a lot of gags, and the way that they were going to find that was, like, through the characters of the dwarves, because they don't really play a huge role in the traditional stories. So that's where I guess Disney had a lot of their kind of creative changes that they added to it was through all of the dwarves, which is I don't know, really, like, it's kind of they're not really that crucial to the actual storyline, but the original story, there's a lot more that actually happens before Snow White bites into the apple and falls down, supposedly dead. How it begins is very similar. You've got Snow White, the jealous, evil stepmother, who kind of asks her mirror, magic mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And the mirror is like, not you, sorry. And she just, like, becomes super enraged and asks her huntsman that she just has on call and is like, could you take my stepdaughter into the forest and kill her?
So we just talked about Cinderella. Now we're talking about Snow White. In both these stories, there is a daughter.
I find it interesting. They're so similar.
The mother has died when she's young. The father gets married to a new woman and then dies shortly afterwards.
Yeah.
Or something.
And it's
somewhere.
The new woman that is. I did, like, a bit of research into the stepmother character. Because a lot of the Grimm stories, the first edition that was released, which I think was in 1812, actually a lot of the stepmother characters were mothers. But the publishers and other people didn't really like that because it kind of ruined the family dynamic. And so they didn't want...
to be her actual mother.
Yeah, they didn't want it to be your actual mother because then it's, you know, it doesn't make sense to children or other people who are reading it. Whereas if you put a stepmother in, you've already broken that traditional, like, family bond because somebody has died and he's remarried.
So I'll tell you, I was, for a few years, married. And I was a stepmother to a kid. And these kinds of roles do not help you out.
No, yeah, like, it's so true.
I mean, and it's like, I didn't really use the term stepmom or mother very often. I was more comfortable saying, like, yeah, I'm a step-parent to a kid that has a mom and dad. Because it wasn't like, you know, either parents were dead. I was just, like, also an additional adult in this kid's life. But, like, you know, the term stepmom has so many, like, negative...
Totally negative. Kind of, like, because it's not just stepmom, it's evil stepmom that you think of, right?
Yeah.
And it's so true. All of these stories, or not all of them, but like a good portion of them have some kind of evil stepmother character. And I think it does kind of have like a religious almost undertone to it a lot of times where it's like you've broken this traditional perfect family.
Usually because somebody died.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it is still kind of part of that, like... She's not the actual family. She's not meant to be part of the family.
And
so
it also
naturally she's evil.
It sets up the new wife or the stepmom to be this, like, in this role of, like, you're never gonna live up to what the other woman was.
Who's perfect. And, like,
Maybe it's just because I've been in that situation.
You know,
So I'm like, oh, I feel bad for her, because she just wants to, like... In lots of versions I've seen of, like, both of these tales, there's only movie retellings and things, it seems like that when they try to sympathize the stepmother figure, she, you know, she's just like, oh, I just wanted him to love me, and he just only cared about his daughter, or he only cared about his ex-wife, and that's why they end up becoming, like, bitter and angry, because they didn't receive what they, you know, the love that they wanted.
Yeah, so that's so true.
In some ways, you know, felt kind of bad for them until they started murdering people.
But up until they actually become evil, and then you're like, ah, no.
Sympathize with the stepmoms, guys.
Sorry, totally fair.
Go on with the story.
Okay, so when the huntsman... So, right, the evil stepmother, the queen, the new queen, asks the huntsman to bring back Snow White's lungs and liver so that she knows that she's for sure dead. And in... a few versions of the story, she also references that she wants to actually eat the liver and lungs, which is this weird, like, cannibalistic undertone that you see in a lot of the fairy tales as well, like the original ones.
I wonder how much folklore played into that.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
It's interesting that, like, I mean, obviously Disney can't include that kind of thing, or chose not to, and, like, for good reason, but it's interesting that so many of the fairy tales do... look at cannibalism, and it's not necessarily questioned. It's like, oh, I want to have her liver and her lungs, and I want to eat it. And it's like, okay, we have no issue with that side of things. It's just that we don't want to actually kill this innocent girl.
Right.
But the actual cannibalistic part is not questioned. And so the huntsman, right, takes Snow White out into the forest, tries to kill her, but he's like, oh, I can't do it. So he kills, depends on the story, either like a boar, a deer, takes whatever organs he needs.
Chris Hemsworth goes out into the forest and he's like, I can't kill you and I'm super handsome. So.
Of course, yeah. And I'm super handsome.
And super handsome. And you're a terrible actress, so.
So, nope. Yeah.
We're carrying on.
Yeah. That's exactly what happens in every version.
That was a Kristen Stewart stab.
Yeah, yeah, it's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
And so instead, Snow White runs away. She ends up finding this cottage in the forest and stays with a group of dwarves that are living there. And so this is where the version, Walt Disney's version, I think really, like, veers off from the Grimm's version. In the Grimm's version of the tale, Snow White stays behind as the dwarves go off to work, and then a peddler, who is actually the queen disguised, comes with, I think it's like silks and a lace bodice, and is like, oh, I've got these beautiful silks and bodices. Would you like to buy it? And Snow White's like, oh, I would love to. That'd be great. So she ties up this laced bodice so tight that Snow White can't breathe and she passes out. And then the queen leaves, and fortunately the dwarves come home after work, find her, cut off the lace bodice, and she can breathe again, so she's fine.
Seems like not a super effective way to kill somebody.
No, definitely not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the queen, like, goes back, does the whole mirror thing, and is like, what? Snow White is still alive? How is this possible? So she comes up with a new plan, also dressed as a peddler, and she has, instead this time, poisoned combs. And so she goes to sell these combs to Snow White, and she's like, oh, I shouldn't, because bad things happened the last time I did this. But okay, you seem really nice. So she buys the comb anyway.
Snow White has poor impulse control.
Yeah, she really does. She's way too naive. Just way... And I mean, I guess...
She loves shopping.
Yeah, she just has a shopping problem. She can't stop.
I mean, they didn't really have eBay at this time. Yeah. She's like, ooh, the peddler's coming by. Yeah.
Get the latest.
Put it on my credit.
Yeah. So she combs her hair and instantly drops down asleep, because apparently that's the type of poison that's in this comb. And then the dwarves come home and they pull the comb out of her hair and she wakes up.
Also an ineffective way to kill somebody.
Totally ineffective. Yeah. Because how long is that really going to last? I don't know. So the queen does the same thing, asks the mirror. It's like, what? How is she not dead? Okay, we've got to do this all over again. But this time I'm going to be sneaky and I'm going to poison an apple. Mm-hmm. So then she goes back dressed as a peddler again with this poisoned apple. And Snow White's like, really, I shouldn't, because two bad things have happened. I can't do this again. So the peddler's like, look, I'll cut the apple in half. I'll eat one half. You eat the other half. It'll be fine. So they do that. But the queen, being sneaky and evil, has only poisoned the one half of the apple. Mm. So Snow White takes this, bites into it, and drops down, presumably dead. So when the dwarves come home, they're super upset. They believe that she's dead, so they put her in a glass casket. And in the Grimm's version of this story, the prince actually hasn't made an appearance until this point, but he's just kind of, I don't know, galloping through the forest and sees that there's all these dwarves gathered around a glass casket and thinks that Snow White is the most beautiful woman he's ever seen. And so he asks the dwarves if he can take Snow White in her casket home with him. Just kind of creepy and weird.
Yeah. Also, you know, like, kids, the moral of the story is like, you don't have to have a personality or be awake as long as you're super pretty.
As long as you're really pretty, then he'll just take your dead body home. That's just lovely. Yep. Yeah. It's like, what are you, all right,
what
why?
Are you going to do with
her? Yeah, exactly, right? It's not really okay.
Mm-hmm. We learned in our Dark Fairy Tales episode that many fairy tales are kind of rapey.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean...
It's a different time.
It was. Yeah. And it's, not really okay. But he takes her, and as they're galloping away, as he lifts up this, I don't know, giant coffin...
Yeah, how does he transport it?
Yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense.
Maybe the dwarves, like, carry it behind him.
Maybe.
Something.
But somehow in that process, because they're, like, jostling the coffin... The apple dislodges from Snow White's throat.
No, it's not even a kiss.
Nope. And she's fine. That's actually, what I think is, like, really interesting is it isn't a kiss. She's totally fine, and it's just from the apple. So it's, from what I read, anyway, I couldn't find anything that was actually true love's kiss that broke the spell.
Hmm.
So that seems to be something that Disney itself added throughout. And in a way, it does make sense to kind of create your own, I guess, kind of like expected spellbreaker, if that makes sense. Like, little kids watching this, they're like, oh, I know what's happening next, and I know how this will play out because I've seen all of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess in a way, it's like a smart move for Disney to do that. Yeah, and then somewhat similarly to the Cinderella story, in certain versions of Snow White, after she kind of gets whisked off by this prince and they get married, at her wedding, the queen doesn't realize that Snow White is still alive. She assumes that she's dead, so she shows up to this neighboring kingdom's wedding and sees that it's Snow White and either drops down dead of just her absolute fury at the situation, or is forced by the people in the wedding to dance until she dies.
Oh, I've heard this, that she has to dance, like, her feet are bloody. Like, I don't...
Yeah, yeah, I mean, dance. She basically dances until, like, her feet are like, bloody and swollen and then drops down dead.
I mean, that's got... There's got to be some other magical person that shows up to make her do that, doesn't she?
I know. That, I... Because it was... Yeah, I don't know. It's almost like an afterthought in the version that I read. It wasn't, like, the last version of the Grimm story. It was, like, kind of one of the middle ones.
I have some notes from when we recorded a long time ago that I'm just kind of looking over now, and I'm not even sure... Oh, this is a Scottish version.
Oh, yeah.
The Vain Queen's name is Silvertree, and it's not a mirror, but it's a trout in a well that she talks to, and... Yeah, same kind of thing. She gets told she's more beautiful, and the king is still alive, but he's so afraid of how crazy his wife is. He says, oh, you know, like, to his daughter, whose name is Goldtree.
Yep. Yeah.
Just like, of course. Oh, Goldtree is better than Silvertree.
Yep.
He tells her, like, oh, you get out of here, go marry this prince, because...
Get out of here, yeah.
You're making your stepmom super mad.
Mm.
Or your mom, unclear. So I think that he, you know, tells her, the queen says, you know, I want her liver and everything. And the king's like, psst, go marry that prince over there. Don't come back.
Right.
And
yeah,
then he's
yeah.
like, no, honey, I killed her. And then, of course, she goes and talks to her trout
in the
well.
Yeah.
And finds out that she's still alive. Hang on one second.
Also, how does this trout know this? He's in a well.
He's a magical trout.
Yeah. What?
She tracks down her stepdaughter, so the stepdaughter, and jabs her with a poison needle. And at this point, she's met the prince and married him, I guess. And the father has died, but he's the queen's jabbed her with a needle, and she is dead. But they keep her corpse, like, you know, hidden away, even though she's not really dead.
Okay.
And then, so I guess the prince has now married the mother.
Because why not? Yep.
I didn't have these, like, crappy notes from, like, a year and a half ago, but I'm looking them over and I thought this was kind of funny. So, like, he marries Snow White, character, Goldtree.
Yep.
She gets killed.
Yeah.
Stepmother shows up after her husband dies and is mad that she's still alive. Jabs her with a poison needle. Goldtree dies. Prince marries stepmom because he's like, well, my wife is dead. You're so, here.
Yeah, mine's
You're
well.
Pretty.
Yeah.
Let's get married. He then finds Goldtree's body somewhere where it's been hiding, pulls the needle out, and then she comes back to life. And then the prince is like, oh, well, you're alive. I have this new wife. I love both of you are pretty hot. Huh. I'll just marry both of you.
He's like, cool, two wives.
So he's like, yeah, I have two wives now. I shall have you both. So... That's how that story ends.
That's hilarious.
And we're just like, this is a very bad example of good polyamory.
Yeah, yeah.
But
cool,
still,
that's great.
Yeah, just a different version where they both end up marrying the prince, and hopefully after that point they get along.
That's so
because otherwise
funny.
That
yeah,
prince is
I mean,
in for a hard time.
Yeah, he's stuck between a really bad relationship.
They're just constantly
two.
Trying to kill each other.
Yeah, yeah. That's
I'm gonna
so
choose
funny.
To believe that. They're all
good
happy. Now.
Yeah.
Somehow. And, yeah. So that's another random version. It seems like...
Yeah.
Like, in that other episode we did, there was, you know, like, the Scottish version of the... Was it the Troll Under the Bridge?
Yeah. Yeah.
Story, the...
Scottish versions are always really weird.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, I had, like, a Scottish fairy tale book as a kid, and it was like, these are vaguely recognizable, but also not at all, because what the heck? What is even happening?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there's no way I can get through this episode without bringing up Once Upon a Time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The television show, which is filmed here in Vancouver. The Snow White character in that show is pretty kick-ass. It's not it's not an amazing show. It's fun.
Really, they do some interesting things with fairy tales.
Mm-hmm.
And they do, especially in, like, the first season, kind of try and stay true to the original fairy tales while giving, like, a modern, interesting spin to it.
Well, like, adding much larger, richer stories to the characters, the two main characters being... two of the main characters being Snow White and Charming.
Yeah, because I think that's something that is actually quite interesting. Like, both these stories, you think of the prince and the princess as being, like, the two main characters, but really, it's the princess. The princes don't have any personalities or storyline at all, except for when they need to, like, come in and save the princesses some way. Mm-hmm. Like, they just provide someone to for the princess to marry. That's about it.
I think it's kind of fun that they cast, you know, Snow White is this, she's been cast out by her stepmother, but she moves into the woods and she lives with the dwarves, so she basically becomes this kind of, like, ass-kicking outlaw.
Yeah, yeah.
Who, like, sort of is like a huntress Robin Hood out there. Figure. Yeah, kind of. She's, like, she robs the princess at one point, I think.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, so that's kind of a different telling of it that's new and fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, moving on, because, there's just so much to say about princesses.
Yeah.
This one I'll just cover real briefly, because there's not too much to say about it, but, one of the more recent Disney princesses is from The Princess and the Frog, and this is, the Disney version, of course, is very quote-unquote jazzed up.
Yeah, good one.
because it takes place in New Orleans, and it is the first, black Disney princess, I believe. Yeah, because we've had Mulan, who's Chinese.
Yeah.
You know, Pocahontas, who's Native American. But the Princess Tiana in this is a black woman from New Orleans. And another really cool thing about this movie was that it went back to traditional animation. For the first time in, I think, many decades.
Yeah,
At least a couple decades. And so Tiana is a waitress, and... for whatever reason, there's a wealthy prince from, you know, and I've only seen it once, and it was a while ago. I believe he was, he's from a made-up place.
I think it is made up.
But it kind of seems like it's like a Caribbean islands kind of locale.
Yeah, because he almost sounds like kind of like French, but it's like an island kind of French.
Yeah, Prince Naveen shows up, and he's supposed to marry a wealthy southern belle. Anyway, they get mixed up with this witch doctor, and he gets turned into a frog, and he convinces Tiana eventually to kiss him, and then she turns into a frog. And then eventually they kind of, you know, go on these adventures and, you know, get involved with New Orleans Mardi Gras and all this stuff. And then they fall in love. And eventually, like, I'm glossing over the details because really it's so far from the original. But briefly, you know, they both end up becoming humans again, I'm sure, through the power of love and live happily ever after. And it's definitely a fun movie. I actually kind of want to watch it again at some point.
Good songs. Some really fun songs.
Mm-hmm. But it's very, very loosely based.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of people turning in and out of frog form.
Yeah.
And there being, like, a love between a prince and a princess is the only sort of
things. I remember reading that, I'm pretty sure it's called The Frog Princess. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. And that's, like, an adaptation of The Frog Prince already, and that's more what Disney based... I think their story on was, like, already an adaptation of the traditional story.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's already kind of gone through several reimaginings before it gets to that movie.
Mm-hmm. So the one of the original ones I remember reading as a kid, I mean, it's a very kind of simple and short story. There's this bratty princess playing with her golden ball in the garden, as you do. And she keeps kind of like playing with her ball and losing it, and it goes down into this pond or this well, and she goes to fish it out and she can't find it, and this frog kind of comes up and he's like, oh, I have your golden ball. And I don't know if she's like, why are you talking to me? But
probably
the frog is like, yo, please kiss me. And she's like, ew, gross, you're a frog. So she, you know, she says, like, you're a gross frog, no. And she leaves, and she goes, and, like, back to the castle, and, but the frog follows her, and he's kind of following her around when she eats her food, and she goes to bed, and he's following her, and he's trying to sneak up on her and kiss her.
Sneaky frog.
And then eventually she kind of, like, gets pissed, like, this is the most original version I found, was that the frog keeps trying to, like, sneak up on her and kiss her, and she gets pissed off, and she picks him up and hucks him at the wall. And then he turns into a man who is a prince. And then, I guess they live happily ever after.
Do they live happily ever after? It's like, this girl's a brat. She throws him against the wall. I don't really know. Then, bam, happiness.
Yeah, or she's like, get the fuck out of my room. There's another version, I think. Well, apparently the Grimm's version is, like, really simple and straightforward. The frog is like, please kiss me. And then out of the goodness of her heart, she does. And then he turns into a prince.
See, that at least makes sense. It's like, then you would live happily ever after. You're like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to do this good thing. It's like, after hucking him against the wall, I would, if I were the prince, I would, like, be like, bam, look, you were wrong. And now I'm leaving forever.
There's another version where the frog follows her around and eats off her plate and sleeps in her bed. And after she lets him sleep in her bed for 3 nights, she wakes up and he's a man. So
that's one of those classic fairy tale examples of, like, oh, that's kind of creepy.
Just let a mysterious person sleep in your bed.
And from what I remember, too, she's like a little girl. Yeah. Right? Like, this is a small, this is a child.
11 or something.
Yeah.
Maybe
this
younger.
This is not someone you want to wake up with a, like, man beside.
Yeah, so that's kind of a weird one.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the rare occasions where I kind of like the Disney one the best.
It's almost like they've flipped the characters around, because from what I remember, Prince Naveen is kind of the, prince, and she's, like, this hardworking
down-to-earth
young woman.
Yeah. With dreams.
Yeah.
And,
So,
yeah, I think that's really all I have to report on The Princess and the Frog.
Cool.
And so why don't you tell me about that Disney movie, Tangled?
Yes. Yeah, I will move on to that. It's funny, because when I was actually starting to, like, make notes for this, I realized how similar, in a way, Tangled's storyline was to The Princess and the Frog. Hmm. From that kind of same, I guess, like, because I'm pretty sure they came out about a year apart or a year and a half apart. Like, they were really close together. But Tangled also has the same kind of reversed thing where she's a princess and the other guy's kind of like this not very good guy, but then ends up falling for her and reforming. And then they get together, which is somewhat similar to Prince Naveen, who's, like, spoiled brat, and then reforms himself because he falls in love, and then things work.
And the, so is her name Entangled Rapunzel?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, too, because obviously we are now in the, you know, 21st century, you can't just continue to tell stories like Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty where they,
people don't want to see that same thing.
Are like
thing.
These helpless women who have, like, handsome men come and kiss them and take them away. So you have these characters, you know, like that are self, these female characters that are self-sufficient women who don't want to put up with crappy men, and the men have to kind of prove themselves to the women.
Yeah, it is true.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Because Rapunzel in this story is, like, kind of kick-ass.
Yeah, she is pretty badass. Yeah. I don't know what I should start with. So the original story is, like, the Grimm's version, I guess, of the story from the 19th century is actually based on a lot of different renditions of this story. And the first one that I could find that was published was in 1634. So there's, like, a couple hundred years of this story being written down in slightly different versions, which I think is kind of interesting, because maybe this is where Disney had a chance to, like, be a little bit creative with the different versions. The Grimm's version takes place, there's a couple, and they're really wanting to have a baby, but they're having trouble, and they live next to an old witch with a beautiful garden. And eventually this couple manages to get pregnant, but the woman has really intense cravings for this lettuce that is in the old witch's garden next door. And the lettuce is called Rapunzel.
So speaking of, we were talking about Into the Woods.
Yeah.
And that happens in Into the Woods. And I was trying to remember, like, they had that kind of detail about, like, the witch lives across the people with the lettuce, they steal the lettuce. But I couldn't remember it when I was watching it, what that was from.
Yeah.
So then
it's this.
But then Into the Woods, so she does have Rapunzel in the tower, but the father of Rapunzel is also the baker's dad?
Interesting.
Because she put the curse on the family. The family would never have children. So I think they must have changed that.
Okay, so they just kind of like...
I'm just sort of
put
like...
the different stories slightly together then.
Yeah, because I think they never actually did have children after that. Or else she stole... That would make her the baker's sister.
Yeah.
But I don't think they make that connection.
Yeah. Okay.
So, sorry, I'm just working this out in my head right
now. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's
interesting.
Like, I was like, what is this lettuce thing from?
Yeah. But yeah, it's from the original Rapunzel's name is, like, lettuce.
Right.
Really.
It's a good thing it wasn't, like iceberg.
Yeah, yeah. Or romaine. Like, it kind of works, actually.
Probably better than Rapunzel. Or, like, I'm trying to think of other, like, hilarious lettuce names. Like, I'm not a lettuce connoisseur.
No, me neither. Spinach.
Yeah.
That's about as close as I can get.
Spinach. Let your hair down, spinach.
Come on. I mean, like, maybe this would have been hilarious to people, like, 200 years ago if they ate a lot of Rapunzel. I don't know.
I know, like, a bunch of little boys named Kale, and I always think that's a
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I always thought that was
a thing
dumb
now.
Name.
Because it's Kale.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is
I
weird.
I like Kale, but, like, not as a name.
Not as a name, just
no
to
offense
eat.
If your kid's name is Kale.
It's a thing. Think about Rapunzel next time, maybe. There's a good alternative. Yeah, so also, when I was, like, reading some stuff on this, apparently there's, like, old wives' tales about women, when they get cravings during pregnancy, that, I don't know, they could, like, turn into something scary, so it was really important.
You have to give in.
Yeah, it was really important for the husbands to make sure that they provided for the women when they got these cravings, which I think is kind of interesting. So maybe this kind of plays into the fact that he, like, feels compelled to actually break into the evil witch's garden. But he does that. He steals some of the Rapunzel. He gives it back to his wife. His wife is like, this is the best lettuce ever. I would like some more.
Whoever says that, though, this is the best
lettuce. This is the
lettuce.
Best lettuce. I mean, they didn't have, like...
chocolate.
Salty, sweet foods like we do now.
Salted caramel ice cream.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, maybe lettuce is your big craving.
Mm.
So, the husband is like, fine, I'll do it again. But he gets caught. And so the witch says, I will give you as much of this Rapunzel as your wife wants during the pregnancy. You can do whatever you want. However, when this baby is born, I get to take her. So... he agrees to this.
That's a terrible
idea. It's a really bad agreement, but he does. So this witch takes the daughter and puts her in a tall tower because she becomes the most beautiful girl in the world, apparently. So she locks her away because she doesn't want anybody else to get a hold of her.
These fairy tales also have a very, like, narrow and specific view of beauty.
Yeah.
Where it's just, like, only one person.
This single person is the most beautiful in the world.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And is all about the beauty. I mean, naturally, they are also, like, usually really kind and lovely as well, but it is interesting that it's always the beautiful character that's the really kind one.
It would be funny if, like, Snow White was like, the most beautiful girl in the world, but you're a fucking bitch, but it doesn't matter because
you're so beautiful. Yeah.
And the prince falls in love with her through the glass coffin, and then she wakes up, and she's the worst person ever, but it doesn't matter because
she's so beautiful. That would be a really good,
yeah.
A good parody of at least.
Now you're stuck with her.
Forever.
Because she's so pretty.
I mean, that is... who knows? That could be what happens in some of these.
Yeah.
It seems possible. Yeah, so the witch locks Rapunzel in a tower. And, you know, you've got the classic line, Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair. And that's how the witch gets in and out of this giant tower. And one day, a prince is walking through the forest and hears Rapunzel singing... and thinks, how can I get up there? So he hides and watches as the witch does this little routine of calling to Rapunzel, climbing up her hair. So when the witch leaves, the prince does the same thing.
What was she singing?
I don't know.
I want to know what Love Is by Foreigner.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, cool.
And he was like, oh, that's my favorite
too.
That's
what I thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he goes up and sees Rapunzel, and they instantly fall in love, because this is a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
And... so she agrees to marry him.
Kids, if you're listening, nobody instantly falls in love.
It doesn't happen. That's called lust.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not
infatuation.
Love. Yeah.
Not
or that.
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But they do it and they agree to get married. And so they come up with this elaborate plan where every day he brings a part of rope and he is going to I guess, somehow build this, like, ladder to so that they can escape together.
Okay, but you're talking about the original story right
yes.
now, right?
Yes.
Okay, but, like, this whole time he's sneaking up there and they're, like, totally doing it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because they're, like, yeah. they, like, have kids and shit.
Because this is, yeah, this is the part where, so, the day comes that they're supposed to escape and the queen, or no, the witch gets pulled up by Rapunzel and she's, like, hey, why don't you have your proper dress on? And Rapunzel's like, oh, it's because it's actually too tight right now. And she's like, I knew it. You're pregnant. I know what's happening. That's it. You need to leave. So she cuts off her hair and sends Rapunzel off into the forest by herself to get lost and hopefully die.
Oh, you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah. But
it happens.
The witch is sneaky and she uses this extra hair mm-hmm. to lure the prince. And so he climbs up on this, like, cut hair now and comes into the tower thinking, great, we're gonna run away together. But no, instead the witch finds him and throws him from the top of the tower. He lands in a pile of brambles and thorns and his eyes get blinded by these thorns, and so he wanders around blindly for years. That's the thing about this story is they say that years pass
mm-hmm.
and then he eventually finds a cottage in some stories, or wanders into the desert in other stories, and finds Rapunzel, and she has two twins that are their twins, and they're so happy to see one another that they instantly fall into each other's arms, and Rapunzel cries, and her tears fall into his eyeballs, and he is cured. So again, it is not a true love's kiss that kind of makes everything better.
Hmm.
It's actually her tears. And the Disney version of this is obviously quite different, but the whole tear thing is something that they actually kept, which I thought was kind of interesting, and I did not even really make this connection when I watched the movie myself. It was only later when I was looking it up that I was like, oh yeah, that is what happened.
I've seen Tangled, but I don't remember,
like, exactly what happened.
I know, they go on all these adventures.
Yeah.
She, like, does a bunch of ass-kicking with using her hair as a weapon.
Yeah.
And they make friends with a bunch of outlaws.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't really remember the, like, kind of climactic.
Yeah. Yeah, basically thing. She's supposed to be, like, the lost princess of this
right.
kingdom, which, like, in the original story, who knows what happens to her parents. We never hear about them again. They just lose their kid, and that's
the witch
that.
Probably killed them and ate
yeah.
them or something.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, so in the Disney version, it's this, also an evil witch, keeps her, hides her away because her hair has this magic power to keep the witch young. And so that's what the
convenient.
Special... Yeah, yeah. And so in the climactic moment at the end when it's not a prince, he's actually a bandit
mm-hmm.
Named Flynn Rider, or Eugene. When he...
Voiced by Chuck.
Yep, that's exactly Chuck. It. Yep. And he comes up in the tower very similarly thinking that, oh, he's going to be with Rapunzel, but actually she is tied up and
He's kind of a suave.
Oh, yeah.
Disney.
Yeah. Oh, he definitely is.
Interest man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. As opposed to,
yeah, he's got
like,
a lot of character.
Prince. Like,
yeah.
Like, I was kind of into him.
I think that this is probably one of the first times that they've had, like, a really... Well, no. Probably. He's got the most character out mm-hmm. of all the princes. Like, other than, like, Simba from The Lion King or something.
Men in movies who are, like, kind of cads. Or, like, you know,
yeah.
kind of the rough bad boy types.
Mm-hmm.
So
not as this character.
You don't
character.
See that a lot in Disney.
No, especially not as the, like, main mm-hmm. love interest, mm-hmm. for sure. But yeah, so he climbs up, finds that Rapunzel is all tied up, and so tries to save her, but in the process gets stabbed by the witch. And so he's, like, dying on the floor
mm-hmm.
from this wound that he has. And Rapunzel comes over and wants to use her hair because her hair also has the ability to heal. So she tries to use her hair and he's like, no, you can't do that because, I don't know, she struck some deal with the witch that if she got to save her prince, she would stay in the tower forever with her. And so Flynn Rider takes matters into his own hands and cuts off her hair before she can save him so that at least she is free. And instantly the witch dies because she's, like, probably, I don't know, like, 100 years old now, and she's been living off of this magic for a really long time. But when Rapunzel cries, her tears fall onto his wounds, and it actually heals him. So it's kind of a weird, like, similar thing where they kept her tears as the thing that saves him instead of the kiss, which I think is kind of
like that.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do quite like it. And then, of course, she gets reunited with her family. So that is also different.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of more follows, like, the traditional fairy tale from, like, other stories, where, like, she is secretly the daughter of a king and queen, and then gets reunited later.
Hmm.
So that's that. That's Rapunzel / Tangled.
Who's our next Disney princess? This movie I've seen 500 times, because when my sister Elizabeth was 3 years old, it was her favorite movie.
It's a biggie.
Beauty and the Beast. She used to watch it every day, like 3 times a day.
Kids do that.
And she had this stuffed beast doll.
Aww.
For a long time. It was pretty cute. So I do definitely know the Disney version quite well. And there are a couple of different versions. There's a French version and a Russian version and that are slightly different, but sort of follow a similar line. The movie that we're familiar with, of course, is Belle is a pretty young girl who loves reading. And, there's the stud Gaston who wants to marry her, but she's not interested. And her father, Maurice, goes into the woods to go to some kind of fair, stumbles into the creepy castle, is captured by the beast, thrown in a cell. Belle shows up and bargains herself for her father's freedom. And then she gets to, has to stay with the beast, live in the castle with the animated household objects that sing to her. And eventually,
naturally,
the beast falls for her and she begins to fall for him. She leaves the castle, I think, for a little while to care for her father. She comes back. Gaston comes back. They fight on the roof, the beast and Gaston. The beast falls. She kisses him before his 21st birthday and the rose falls apart. And then he turns into a man, which was always the most disappointing part for me.
When he turns into a man.
I haven't fallen in love with this blonde-haired man.
Yeah,
in love with the beast.
Yeah.
The beast is the one that I
totally
care
remember
about.
That.
So, so I think, and so recently, I guess, there was a new live-action movie that came out, which I have not seen, but you have seen.
Yes. And it's very, very similar to the original Disney version. I think they add, like, one more song in there. Otherwise, I wouldn't say that they change a ton. The aesthetic is somewhat different, but that's about it. Like, I don't know. I found it very, very similar.
Yeah. Yeah, but the original, or not the original, sorry, the Disney movie, which is, I think it's the early 90s.
Yeah.
Early to mid 90s, probably because my sister would have been 3 and about 94, is, I think it's quite good. And then the songs are really lovely and it's still pretty watchable. And then they, they're kind of halfway between keeping traditional sort of gender roles, but then they're starting to give her, like, she's really intelligent and she loves reading and she doesn't want to be told what to do. So they're starting to make her more of an empowered female figure. Well, let's see. What is the French story? Is, so in some of the original ones, in the Disney one we see is just Belle and her father.
Mm-hmm.
In some of the original ones, there's a whole bunch of kids, 6 kids, 3 boys, 3 girls. Belle, of course, being the youngest, sweetest one, who's the father's favorite. He is a poor dad, so he does have to seem to travel around and sort of figure out ways to make money. And so I believe the whole thing of him sort of going off on sort of work trips into the forest is the same. And on this one sort of work trip off to go to some kind of fair to sell some wares, Belle asks all the sisters and brothers, say, like, oh, bring me clothes, bring me jewels, bring me toys. And she says, I just want a rose. Which, when I read that, I thought, like, well, it's cheap, but that seems a little hard to transport. So
that is very true.
Yeah. So the dad goes off and does get lost in the forest and, comes across the castle and he goes in and, finds a fire burning in the hearth and finds a little bit of food and helps himself, which, I guess if you're hungry and starving and you don't see anyone around, why not? And then this castle has a rose garden. And so he goes to the rose garden, he picks one for Belle. And at that moment, when he picks the rose, he's confronted by the hideous beast who tells him that he has taken his most prized possession and the merchant now must die. The merchant begs to be set free, arguing that he has to go back to his family and that he just picked the rose for his daughter. And the beast agrees to let him give the rose to his daughter, Beauty, as she's called in the story. But then the merchant must return. So he goes off, and he swears that he must never tell anyone of the bargain. He lets him go. He gives him back his clothes and his jewelry to give his kids and the rose to give to Belle. And he goes off. And as soon as the dad gets home, he gives things to all his kids. And mm-hmm. he right away tells them everything that happened, even though he wasn't supposed to do that.
Broke the promise.
Broke the promise. And so Belle feels very guilty because she was the one that asked for the rose. And she decides she has to go back. So she sneaks off and goes and confronts the beast and said, "Don't take my dad. Take me." And the dad in this version of it doesn't really even go after her.
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, looks like she went. Cool. Guess I don't have to go."
It's funny because, like, I kind of forgot about that in the new live-action version. I can't remember if Belle actually asks for Rose, but that is why he gets locked away by the beast. It's because he's trying to take a rose from the garden.
Hmm.
So there is that similarity.
Right. And in, I think in the Disney one, it's just that he's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just there and he, like, is eating some food and hanging out with the, you know, singing lampshades or whatever.
Yeah,
So now Belle strikes this deal with the beast, and the beast now tells her that she's the lady of the house and he is her servant. This is in the version that I found. And so she's, like, in charge of the household. And every night the beast asks her to marry him. And she's like, no, I love you as a friend. She friend zones him,
basically. Great.
You know, I don't like you that way. And this kind of goes on for a while. And they kind of just, like, live together in the house as, like, this awkward, like, friend couple.
Okay.
But eventually she does beg him if she can go see her family, and he lets her go, but she promises... I mean, he seems to put a lot of stock in promises.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't actually sound like that bad of a guy.
Mm-hmm. He says, "You have to promise to come back." So she goes back and she visits her family and she sees her sisters, and they say that she's happy and healthy and wearing, like, nice clothes, and apparently mm-hmm. she's, like, the lady of a castle, and they're super pissed off and jealous. So they decide that they're gonna, like, try to convince her to stay. So they're, like, these spiteful, terrible girls, and they come up with this plan to get Beauty to break her promise and to stay longer than a week, so that when she goes back, the beast will be so angry he'll eat her.
Perfect, of course. What a great plan.
Yeah. So eventually they do just that, and they keep saying, like, "Oh, stay one more night. And eventually she goes back, and instead of being angry, the beast is dying of a broken heart.
Oh, no.
Yeah. My response to that was, like, lame.
He's dying of a broken heart.
And he's lying in his rose garden, starving to death, like a drama queen.
Yeah, exactly.
He's had a woman in his house for how many months, and now
he can't feed himself.
Can't feed himself.
Yeah.
I don't know how to cook. What about all those dancing plates, man?
Yeah, what?
I guess he doesn't have those.
Not in this version.
So she comes back, and she's super upset, and she kisses him, and she cries, and she tells him that she loves him, and then he turns into a handsome prince, and they live happily ever after.
How nice. Yeah, so it totally isn't that different than the Disney
version. So that one's version. That one's not super different. I mean, just that there's, like, family involvement.
Which, like, they just get rid of the annoying sisters to probably make things easier.
Yeah. So, but there's also a Russian version called The Enchanted Tsarevich.
Oh, okay.
And in this story, the beast is a three-headed winged snake demon.
Of course. Okay.
Which is, like, pretty fucking metal.
Yeah. It's so true.
And same scenario. The father comes to the castle and pisses the beast off.
Good job, Dad.
Beauty comes and takes his place. She is lonely and bored and hanging out in the palace. And even though he looks really scary, the beast is apparently pretty boring. And, he keeps trying to put the moves on her. And, she's like, "No, dude, not interested." But every night, I guess, like, their beds are in the same room.
Okay.
And every night he moves his bed 1 inch closer. He's just, like,
just so shifty.
Just coming on in there.
Yeah.
Just, like, really slowly. Just
one day at a time.
Yeah. So until... he does this every night until his bed is close enough for him to slither on over into her bed.
And she was like, what, how did that happen?
And they don't say outright that they hook up, but I think it's implied that he gets on into her bed because the next day he agrees to let her go see his family. Her family. He's just like, okay, I'm happy now. You can visit your family.
I feel like there's a lot of the fairy tales that are like that, where it's like, and then bed stuff happened.
And then they fell asleep.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, okay. Oh, and by the way, she's pregnant, like, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's eventually like, oh, were our beds beside each other the whole time? Okay, I guess we're doing it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Then at that point, he's like, okay, go visit your family. And if you don't come back, I'll kill myself. Beauty pulls kind of a dick move and does not come back in time.
No.
And then the Beast follows through on his threat and he kills himself.
And that's just it?
But then she comes back, and she finds him dead, and kisses one of his dead snake heads, and then he turns into a prince.
Oh, so there's a kiss.
Yeah, there's a kiss of a dead snake head.
Yeah. Right, because he's got 3 snake heads in this one.
Yeah. So, the moral of the story is, eventually, if you give in to a controlling dude, you'll learn to like it. Or, if you love him enough, you can change him.
Both very healthy outlooks on life.
And then this is a lesson about how Stockholm Syndrome really works.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I know a lot of people kind of, like, joke that that's what Beauty and the Beast is like. Mm-hmm. I don't really find that.
I mean, obviously it's about, like, it doesn't matter about your outward appearance as long as you're a good person on the inside. Yeah.
But, like, I also, like, Gaston's character, like, he's a douche. You know,
and like pretty on the outside.
And Belle's very like knows what she wants and knows what she doesn't want, and she doesn't want Gaston, and she tells him that and then leaves. Like, there's no point where she doesn't kind of have control over that situation. So I think it's kind of like it's rude to Belle to assume that she doesn't have control over the situation when she's also with the Beast, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she knows what she wants.
I mean, I agree with that, but I also think her choices are very limited.
True, because she's stuck in a castle, but, you know, I don't know. I think I really like Belle's character, like, compared to a lot of the other Disney princesses that we've, at least the earlier ones.
She's pretty feisty.
Yeah, there's a lot more to her character that I really appreciate.
You know, it's funny, like, obviously we can only do so many. I mean, this could easily be a 2-parter.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I kind of brought up Pocahontas and Mulan earlier because we were talking about Disney princesses of color. And we didn't talk about their original stories, which are actually based on historical real-life characters.
And in some ways, like in real life, very horrific. So, like,
much different.
Yeah. Than the Disney actually versions, that would be interesting to look at the actual, like, real-life stories that they're based off of.
Maybe a future episode.
Yeah.
But for now, why don't you tell me about Sleeping Beauty?
All right. So Sleeping Beauty, also known as Briar Rose, depending on the version that you're looking at. I'm going to be kind of focusing on the Charles Perrault version, which is the French version. But there are so many different tellings of this Sleeping Beauty story that, yeah, as we said earlier, like, if you don't really recognize some of the stuff that's happening, it's just because there are so many different versions. In Perrault's version, there's actually 2 parts to this story, and I was reading that some historians actually think that they were originally 2 different stories, and both Perrault and the Grimm's brothers put them together because they seem to fit well enough together. But basically, in the first part of this story, a king and queen have a child, and they invite some fairies in the kingdom to be the godmothers to this child. So they host this banquet, and they have 7 sets of, like, gold plates and cups for these good fairies. But then an 8th fairy arrives, and she's, like, this old fairy that everybody just thought was dead because they hadn't seen her in a really long time. And they didn't have another set of gold plates for her.
7 is an odd number, but okay.
Yeah, especially for these. Usually it's like 3. 3 is like the strong fairy tale number, but
maybe they thought they were going to have dwarves.
Yeah, the 7 dwarves. Yeah, weird. But yeah, so this old fairy doesn't get a gold set of cups and plates. So she feels like she's been forgotten and gets really upset. And so when it's her turn to bless the baby with some gift, she instead decides to put a spell on the child, saying that when she turns, I think, 16, she will prick her finger on a spindle and die.
Which is a thing we're very familiar with.
Yes, because it is very similar up until this point, like, as the actual movie. And then at this point, there's one more good fairy left to give a gift. And so she tries to break the spell, but instead she can only kind of change it. So she manipulates this spell to make it that instead the girl will fall into a deep sleep for 100 years. And then eventually a kiss by a prince will be what will wake her up. So I guess the whole, like, kiss thing comes more from this story, I think. And that's what, like, Disney kind of
is
latched on.
Is it specifically a prince, or is it specifically, like, true love?
It's a prince. Mm. True love does not matter as long as it's a prince.
That throws a wrench into the whole Maleficent story.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true, yeah. Well, because this is where, like, later on, there's some confusion that happens. So, to try and prevent this event from actually happening, the king and queen try and destroy all the spinning wheels in the kingdom. And then, they basically try and, like, ban any kind of spindles from entering. But the princess still comes across a spinning wheel with this old woman spinning away. And the old woman tells her to come closer. So she does. She ends up pricking her finger and falls into a deep sleep. And in the version that I read, the king and queen aren't actually asleep instantly. So they actually take her down to her bedroom. They put her to bed. And it's instead they go and talk to the original fairy, I guess, one of the fairies, her godmother. And the fairy decides that she'll put everybody else in the castle also asleep for 100 years because she doesn't want the princess to wake up and feel like she's all alone all of a sudden.
Right.
So she does this, and then she also protects the castle with brambles and thorns so that no one will disturb her while she's sleeping for 100 years. So after these 100 years pass, a young prince is going through the forest, and he sees the, like, spires from this castle, and he hears that there's this story of a princess in this castle, and if a prince kisses her, she'll wake up. So he decides to try and fight through all these, like, thorns and bushes, and gets to the castle, kisses her, and she wakes up. They get married, and they all live happily ever after. So that's the first part of the story, which is basically what the Disney version is entirely based on. And then,
except that the Disney one has a dragon.
Yeah, except that the Disney one has a dragon. So what's interesting is they seem to kind of have included the bramble stuff as, like, a negative thing, because that's what Maleficent uses in the movie to, like, try and keep Prince Philip away. Whereas in this version, like, in the original version, it's to protect her from, like, outsiders. So I think that's kind of cool, I guess. Mm-hmm. In the second part to the story, the prince and princess actually get married in secret. They don't tell the family about it.
Before she falls asleep.
No, after she wakes up.
Oh.
They just kind of, like, run away together. Which seems kind of would be upsetting to the, like, king and queen who, you know, fell asleep on purpose so that she wouldn't be alone when she woke up. And now she's just, like, left them alone. But she gives birth to two children shortly afterwards. Also, what's kind of weird is the kids' names are Aurora and Jour, because it's French. So it's kind of cool that Disney chose to keep one of those for her name. And in this version, the prince takes his new wife and his two kids to his family's home because his dad dies, so he has to take over the kingdom. So he becomes the new king. However, his mom still lives there, and his mom is an ogre.
Oh.
Yep, naturally. And so this ogre, because she is an ogre and she's kind of grumpy, she doesn't like this new wife or the children.
So is he half ogre?
Yeah.
Okay.
But apparently he's a nice prince. He's a good half ogre. I don't know. And so he leaves for whatever reason. I don't know. He's got some business. And so this ogre stepmother, mother-in-law, decides that she would like to banish the princess and her children to a house in the woods, and then asks her cooks to pick them off one by one for dinner each night. And so the cook, they can't kill the children because they just love these two children too much, so they pretend to cook a lamb and then a goat and then a deer. And they're like, look, you ate all of them. Good. Done. But the ogre soon...
Oh, that's kind of Snow White-ish.
Yeah, very Snow White-ish. Same kind of thing. It's like, you've got the cannibalism, you've got these other characters who are nice, so they're trying to cover it up.
Stepmother.
But of course, yep, this evil ogre discovers the trick. Yeah, mother-in-law. Same kind of, I guess, like, it's interesting, always the mother character, always the mother figure. She discovers the trick and decides, okay, well, everybody deserves to die now since you've all tricked me. So she gets giant pit of vipers, as you just have somewhere, I guess, and is like, Kate, this is where you guys are all gonna head. But the prince, luckily, or I guess the new king, luckily returns and finds out what has been going on, and so instead throws her into the pit of vipers, and she is eaten and dies, and the family lives happily ever after without this evil ogre mother. Yeah, but the first part of that is very similar to the Disney version. However, in the Disney version, you've got Aurora being kept out of the actual kingdom in a cottage until her 16th birthday.
Which is like the Disney movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then...
With the fairies.
With that version with the fairies, I think Prince Philip... I'm just like trying to read here. Yeah, he runs into her in the forest and falls in love with her instantly. And they don't realize that they've actually initially been betrothed, like, at birth, that these two are going to get married.
Oh, now I have that song in my head.
Yeah. But they do fall in love with each other just naturally. Mm-hmm. Neither of them knowing that the other one is a prince or princess. So when Aurora goes back to tell her stepmothers, or her godmothers, that she's fallen in love, they're like, sorry, this is actually the real story of your life. You're really a princess. We're going to take you back to the kingdom where you've been betrothed to this other prince. The prince, Philip, he goes home and does the same thing and tells his family, I've fallen in love with a woman in the woods. And they're like, you can't fall in love with a woman in the woods. That's ridiculous. You've been betrothed to this other woman. And then, as it turns out, they both go to this ball and find out that, oh, as it turns out, they've loved each other and everything worked out fine. So I think that's also kind of a classic, like... storyline too. In, I don't know if, have you seen the live action version of Cinderella? Because they do basically that exact same thing.
Yeah.
That like chance encounter. Oh, we don't actually know who the other one is. Mm-hmm. Turns out he's a prince.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do a very similar thing.
But there's another version, a couple other versions that I am aware of, that I think is probably the sleaziest.
In that, I know exactly where you're going.
Yep, she's asleep in the castle, and the prince hacks his way in, and he sees her, but I guess it's not time for her to wake up yet. But he's in love with her, so he still stays with her while she's asleep and has sex with her, rapes her. And she has these children while she is still under her enchanted coma. But because it's like... But in the context of these stories that are written in, like, the 17th century, like, it's kind of seems okay
to them. That's what is interesting.
Because they're like, oh, but he loves her, and it's true love, and then she wakes up, but, like...
But, like, you also have to wonder, because at the same time...
She's unconscious, and she's, like, having some... This prince is having sex with her, and she's bearing children.
Yeah. But, like, in the same stories, you've got, like, cannibalism that... goes on and isn't overly questioned either.
There's also another version where, like, this king, it's a king that finds her and starts this relationship quote, air quotes, with her while she's unconscious and impregnates her, and then she eventually wakes up because she's gotten, so in this version she pricks it on a spindle wheel, she gets a sliver in her finger. And then that causes her to be... And so she has these babies.
Oh, I remember.
And the child sucks the sliver out of her finger one day.
Yeah.
And she wakes up. And this king is already married to another queen. So he decides he's already raped Sleeping Beauty and had kids with her. So he has his other queen killed and burned alive. So he can marry Sleeping Beauty now that she's awake with her kids.
Yeah.
That he impregnated her with.
And, like, you think about history... from the like these time periods, it's like, yeah, that's not too far off, like, what actually probably did happen.
Oh, but apparently in this version from my notes here, don't worry if you feel bad for the wife that gets burnt alive. She had already tried to kill and eat the babies first, so don't feel too bad for her.
Okay.
Everyone is horrible.
Everyone is awful.
Yeah.
The moral of all these fairy tale stories. Just everyone is horrible. Don't trust anyone.
All royalty is cannibalistic, incestuous, yeah. Rapey, terrible people.
And it's like, really?
I mean, they're probably not the one making up the fairy tales. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's so true. This is, like, something that would have been told around, like, fires or, like, taverns, you know, by local people.
Yeah, they're like, obviously the king and queen are evil.
Yeah. Yeah, so it makes sense that they would be the villains.
Okay, so I'm gonna move on to the last Disney princess that we will talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of my favorite tragic tales. I think because... So I'm talking about The Little Mermaid. I think because... I had this book when I was a kid, and I still remember these, like, beautiful illustrations that it had, and it was the original story. I have no idea what happened to that book. I'm sure that my mom doesn't have it anymore, but I think I really liked it, because it's very clear in my mind.
Yeah.
Like the pictures.
That's
and everything.
That's so nice.
But yeah, so... And the movie, of course, came out... Gosh, I don't even know how old I was. Like, around 90, maybe?
Yeah, because that was like, the young, Disney... I think it was the first Beauty one the of Beast. The Disney Renaissance... like, that, like, 90s era, like, yeah. Rejuvenation of the Disney brand.
It definitely, so, 1989.
89, there you go.
So, I would have been, oh my god, math, like, 5. and so, like, you know, being, like, 5, 6, 7, 8, like, all these, like, you know, Under the Sea, like, all these great music from The Little Mermaid. I mean, I obviously loved those as well. And this one, The Little Mermaid, actually is a little easier to track the original story because we know that it was written by Hans Christian Andersen in 1836. So we have a very definitive kind of origin for this one. So the, you know, the Disney version, we have, you know, The Little Mermaid and her King Triton, her father, and the living in this kingdom under the sea, and all her mermaid sisters, but she's curious about the world above, and she saves Prince Eric from a wreck, and falls in love with him, but he's a human, so, you know, she swims off before he wakes up, but she wants to have legs so she can walk on land and go and find him, so she makes a deal with Ursula the Sea Witch. She has to make him fall in love with her. She has 3 days, but she has to give up her voice, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
We know from all the wonderful singing. And, you know, she's got all these cute little fishy lobster companions that help her, you know, get the prince. She almost loses him to Ursula as a beautiful woman. But in the end, she does get her voice back, and he realizes that he loves her, and she stays a human, and her family... waves to them from the sea in their mermaid forms, yep. And they're all happy, and everything works out.
Yay.
This is not how the original story goes.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah, more blood and pain and agony, less steel drums. So, in the Hans Christian Andersen version, we still have the Sea King, King Triton, probably not his name in the story, but Sea King, and his daughters. He has 6 daughters, and she is the youngest. And I have a quote here. It says, "She was a strange child, quiet and thoughtful, while her sisters would be delighted at the wonderful things which they could obtain from the wrecks of vessels. She cared for nothing but her pretty red flowers like the sun, except for a marble statue. It was a representation of a handsome boy carved out of pure white stone that had fallen to the bottom of the sea from a wreck." So
interesting.
Yeah, so in the original, it's like the sisters love the things from the wrecks as well, like Ariel did in the Little Mermaid Disney version. But that, you know, the carved statue is something that does show up in the movie too.
Yeah.
So I guess it was normal for these mermaid sisters to, on their 15th birthday, have permission to visit the surface of the ocean for the first time. So she is allowed to do that. And actually, this is the same. She does actually save the prince from drowning while she's up on the surface. And of course, immediately falls in love with her. Him. Falls in love with him. And she has this beautiful voice, and she sings to him. And so, like in the movie, she also has this gorgeous voice, and it's very lovely. But she's fallen in love with this prince, and she needs to figure out what to do about it, like in the Disney movie. Mm-hmm. She goes to find this notorious sea witch. In the book that I read, she is this, like, horrible hag.
Okay.
And in the movie, Ursula sort of magically extracts her voice from her throat. Mm-hmm. In the book, she cuts her tongue right out. So it's gone, like, permanently.
Yeah.
She's not getting it back. And she says, you know, you have X amount of time to get the prince to fall in love with you, or you are going to die and, you know, bad things will happen. Yeah. Also, I'll give you legs for this period of time, but every step you take feels as like you're stepping on glass. Every step you take with your legs is horrifically painful.
You know what, though? If you were born in the ocean and lived with that much, like, buoyancy, it probably would feel horrible to walk on land.
How would that be enjoyable at all?
Yeah.
Like, swimming is awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so, like, she has to go, you know, tongue cut out, terrible pain. Mm-hmm. So she manages to go up and somehow meet the prince or get in with him. And I think even though she doesn't have a tongue anymore, she can somehow still... She catches his attention by dancing, even though obviously it must be super painful for her because of her legs.
Yeah.
But he does think that she's kind of cute. So he's like,
wow,
you,
she's a great dancer.
Strange mute girl.
Yeah.
Come and hang out with me. And so the prince kind of like keeps her as a pet and like is just like, oh, you're cute and you can't talk.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like obviously in love with him and following him around, but he's just like, you're just this funny little kid. And like he lets her sleep outside his door.
Like
seriously, like a fucking pet. And he just kind of like follows her around, and her feet are killing her all the time, but she'll just kind of like laugh and nod and whatever. And she just can't win him because she can't say anything, and he just isn't, he's like, you're cute and you follow me around, but that's, I'm not really into it.
Yeah.
So he falls in love with another woman, and he gets engaged to her, and there's just really not anything that the mermaid can do. And at this point, she's crying, and she goes out, you know, towards the ocean, and she's just kind of like upset and thinking, and her sisters come up to the surface and they're like, we went to the sea witch, we let her cut off all our hair, and like, if you take this dagger and you stab the prince in his sleep and put the prince's blood on your feet, you'll turn back into a mermaid and you can come back into the water and come back and live with us. But she can't do it because she loves him. And you know, she goes to his room, stands over him with the dagger, and just can't stab him. He's in bed with his new wife. They've just gotten married. And so instead, she throws herself into the water and basically turns into sea foam and dissolves into the water. And that is
so sad.
The story. So she dies.
It's funny because, like, The Little Mermaid was such a big part of my childhood. Like, I loved that movie. I wanted to be a mermaid because of that movie. And yet, I don't remember reading that story as a kid at all. Because it's really... I don't know if this is true also, but I remember reading something that said that The Little Mermaid was actually supposed to be about Hans Christian Andersen's, like, homosexuality and his, like, desire to be with another man.
Oh, he was a super weird guy.
Okay. Because, yeah, I remember reading something about that, how, like, he wanted to be with this other man, but then the man got married, and so he was supposed to be, like, the mermaid in this story, where, like, he feels like a fish out of water, you know?
Literally.
Yeah, literally.
I listened to, there's an episode of Stuff You Missed in History Class that talks about him and how he was just, like, this... like weird gangly awkward dude, and like
so funny.
he w- was popular at the time because, like, he had success in his lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So he would make some friends with, like, other writers or other, like, important literary people.
Yeah.
And they would, like, politely be like, oh, feel free to come and visit. And he'd be like, okay. And he would show up and just stay for weeks.
That's hilarious.
And they were just like, when is he gonna leave? He's weird.
So they didn't actually like him, but they liked his work.
They liked his work, so they tolerated it. But then he would just, like, come and overstay with people hilarious. All the time. Like,
so he was just a really, like, lonely person.
I guess.
That's so sad.
Yeah. So that's the real story of The Little Mermaid, is basically just, like, self-sacrifice and unrequited love and agony. And
it's just really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't even get to be with her family again. She just dissolves into foam.
Yeah. Yeah. She gets neither. She sacrifices everything for nothing.
Yep. Basically.
So heartbreaking.
Yeah. So, these stories are not as happy as Disney.
No.
Makes them sound?
Definitely not. There's a lot more, like, blood, cannibalism.
Pain.
Incest.
Mm-hmm.
Just got a lot of other dark things in there that, for good reason, Disney decided to leave out.
It's true.
But, you know, there also, I'm sure, are adult kind of, like, versions of these stories or, like, modern fairy tales that people have tried to do and make them a little bit more true to the original fairy tales.
Did you ever see the horror movie version of Snow White with Sigourney Weaver?
No.
Yeah, that's a... Sigourney Weaver plays the stepmom.
And that she'd be great at that.
It's,
I can,
like,
totally
see
that.
It's, like, pretty cheesy, but it's pretty good.
Yeah?
Like, it's cheesy bad.
Is it, good. Like, gory? It's, like...
It's...
Like the story?
It's... There's, like, some creepy, gross moments.
Okay.
Like, when she is, like, her old witch self, she looks really freaky.
That'd be really good, yeah. Yeah. That's kind of fun. See, they're out there. There are versions out there.
Yeah, I think I'm a fan of fairy tale horror stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's something
it's
that...
Like, you don't even have to change it that much.
No, that's the thing. I think that's, like, something that I've seen adult versions, especially, like, literature over the last, like, 20 years. People have... Thank you. People have started to, like, add almost more horror and more gore to these traditional stories instead of trying to shy away from them.
Especially with stuff like The Little Mermaid. It's like, it came out when I was 5 and now I'm, you know, in my 30s.
Yeah.
So, like, now I'm grown up. And
yeah.
I'm like, ooh,
yeah.
A
I think
gory
that is,
version
like,
of something
yeah,
is cool.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I think, I feel like almost, especially with the live action versions of the Disney movies, like, they don't seem to have quite as much light airiness to them.
Well, and I mean, like, you took you know, lots of, like, literature classes in school and children, like, looking back on what fairy tales were, like, now we think, oh, fairy tales are for little kids.
Yeah.
But, like, originally they're not for little kids.
Yeah.
They're, like, these morals that people would tell each
they
other
were,
as adults.
Yeah. Stories that groups of people or traveling storytellers would have told to, like, whoever would gather.
Well, and these people had hard lives, so, like, why would they necessarily want to hear about, like, and then this rich person was beautiful and they got kissed and lived happily ever after.
Yeah, and I think that's why they're so often it's, like, a normal person or an ordinary, like, whatever becomes a prince or becomes a princess, and then these horrible things happen to the, like, evil people that try and bring them down. It's, like, it does make sense that that existed.
Well,
alrighty.
I think that is, you know, this is running a bit long. I think that wraps up our episode on The Real Housewives of Disney princesses.
Mm-hmm.
Not the most uplifting thing, but I don't know, a bit more interesting, a bit more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Relatable.
Well, thank you for coming back and re-recording an episode.
Thank you for having me.
Like, over a year later.
Yeah.
And hopefully we will do one again in the future.
Definitely.
So, thank you for joining me.
All right.
Cheers.